The Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Ms. Sherrill, please call the roll.
Chair Plasencia.
Here.
Vice Chair Mainey. Representatives Casello.
Here.
Grieco.
Here.
Hawkins.
Here.
Maygard.
Here.
Mariano. McCurdy.
Here.
Nixon. Rizzo.
Here.
Rodriguez.
Present.
Schoaf.
Here.
Ranking Member Thompson. Tuck.
Here.
Zika.
Present.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. Members, today we're going to have an interesting follow-up to a workshop that we had prior. I think it was prior to session, so it was during committee weeks. And it revolves around OER, open educational resources. And we had a great committee made up of three state colleges and three state universities. And there they were presenting different ideas of how we can, or how they have decreased the cost of textbooks for students. And so in our aim at trying to roll out a house proposal and trying to do the same statewide, we wanted to make sure we had another follow-up committee meeting that gave us more feedback and more information on potential programs that we could run out of this committee. So we'll be starting today with a presentation and discussion on affordability counts, a searchable database for open education resources and low-cost materials housed at Florida International University. Then we will take up a consent agenda for appropriations project bills. Today we have with us Ms. Leah Privolis, Interim Associate Vice President for FIU Online. Ms. Privolis, before you begin, and members, I want to share with you that I will be leaving committee to go present a bill in another committee. And in my absence, my vice chair, Representative Mainey, will be the chair. And at this point, I want to pass the gavel to Vice Chair Mainey.
Ms. Privolis, you're recognized.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity and most importantly, your interest in affordability counts. I will take us through a deep dive of this initiative launching in 2016 at FIU. This was a result of the collaboration of three units, FIU Online, the FIU Libraries, and the Center for Advancement of Teaching. On this slide are the whys. Statistics supporting the need for affordability counts, cost trends driving student behaviors, awareness factors from both faculty and students to how upwards trending textbook costs can influence academic performance. On this slide is the affordability counts mission. What I'd like to highlight here is that this is a student-centered initiative. Faculty are the drivers for adoption. Affordability counts encourages faculty to adopt low-cost to no-cost course materials, submitting curated course materials that meet the affordability counts requirements, which I will review shortly, and receiving a medallion in recognition for those efforts. A brief history, stemming out of FIU, the first iteration was called lowcost.fiu.edu. It launched in June 2016, utilizing the medallion. This served as a way for faculty who have taken these extra steps for students to be recognized for that. And what we found in that consultation with faculty is that their biggest challenge was really the overwhelming amount of content and sourcing that content. So we wanted to provide a way for those efforts to be shared amongst peers, and the database at lowcost.fiu.edu served that purpose very well. This is an overview of the criteria, really stemming around the cost of $20 per credit or less. I'd like to emphasize that it's the cost of all required course materials. The reason I emphasize that is there can be instances where, for example, a faculty member has chosen two textbooks and maybe some supplemental course materials such as a novel, and this $20 per credit or less is to be inclusive of all course materials, not just the quote-unquote textbooks. The costs are determined on new condition materials, not any other conditions such as used or good condition or other ones that we've seen. The syllabus must include language and links for the students to be able to acquire the material at the cost of $20 per credit or less. And if it's a library reserve item, there cannot be a capacity issue with that. It has to be an unlimited access reserve item or perhaps a digital copy where access is not an issue. Then affordability counts go statewide. So in 2019, the statewide database was established using our SUS course identifiers as the common common factors across institutions. So low cost, low-cost.fiu.edu was migrated to affordabilitycounts.org as the statewide initiative. So now the ability to alleviate the challenge on curating and sourcing these materials can be shared statewide. First and foremost, again, emphasizing this is a student-centered initiative with the goal of lowering cost. What institutionals can find as support in being part of the Affordability Counts program are items such as a media packet with collateral, where the institutions can use that to leverage and launch their campaigns on their campuses, and of course, access to an expanding database of these materials. An overview of the statewide impact. In 2019, this was rolled out as a limited capacity pilot. These are the pilot participant institutions up on the slide, with over 2,300 courses that have received the Affordability Counts Medallion to date, and over 1,400 faculty contributors. So now, from the faculty perspective, I'll walk through the process for identifying low-cost materials. The faculty would visit affordabilitycounts.org and search for their course in the database. Should they find a course that has been curated by a peer instructor, whether at their institution or at another, they can access the curated course materials and adopt them for their course. If their course is not cataloged, we encourage a faculty member to be an OER hero and go through the journey of curating the course content and continue to help build our library. We also encourage faculty to find a trusted resource in validating the various amounts of content that are out there, and typically a library liaison serves as that resource very well from all of our institutions. Then they are to submit the course, and if it meets all of the criteria, they will be awarded the medallion. This is what the search on the affordabilitycounts.org website looks like. At the end, if time permits, I would like to go through a demo of the site, but just a little preview here. So now that the faculty has curated their low-cost to no-cost content, they're ready to submit for their medallion. These are the simple steps to submit: curating the materials at the requirements of $20 or less per credit, submitting the course on affordabilitycounts.org. The course is validated and verified whether it meets the criteria, and the faculty receive the medallion. We also send it directly to the faculty member in a digital format and encourage them to put it in their syllabus, signaling the student to the student that this cost has low-cost or no-cost materials. Since the curating process is so complex, we tried to make the submission process as simple as possible. So this is a sample of what that looks like, submitting the course. And then for the remaining of the presentation, what I'll go over is language, approaches, and tactics that we provide for each partner institution to continue to support affordability counts in building awareness and momentum at their institutions. So starting with adding to the process. So what we recommend is to, at the very least, do an at mention for the Affordability Counts initiative in the textbook selection process. So a good example would be at new faculty orientation, when a new faculty member is being introduced to the textbook selection process at their institution, introducing this initiative alongside that process, setting themselves up for considering that in textbook selection throughout their teaching career at that institution. Building awareness, we've gone ahead and identified several groups and events that most of our institutions already have to help champion the initiative. Another strategy we encourage is to look at a group of courses, for example, the DFW courses, which historically have been high impact courses for our students, and remove yet another barrier for positive student outcomes there, being high cost materials. Something else we recommend is identifying and featuring faculty champions that has proved to fare very well in past initiatives. Infusing OER and low-cost education in faculty development. We also recommend each institution have a sister site of their own. So this is not only a statewide initiative, but also accepted by their institution and their campus. We recommend establishing a committee to not only carry forward the current process, but more importantly, evolve it to continue to meet student needs. And these are some groups where we think committee members can be drawn from. We also encourage partner universities to invite students in on the campaign, consult with student government, have them also encourage and push communications, perhaps do a highlight feature in the student newspaper, provide collateral to student organizations to use on their social channels, and partnering with the libraries. Many of our libraries are already primed with a lot of benefits that would support this initiative. We encourage executive leadership buy-in, communication and messaging to faculty and the community at large. Again, really pushing the institutional effort. Another item is to provide visibility of costs to students so they can make the most appropriate choice for their particular circumstances. And we also encourage, there are a lot of grants and various funding out there for initiatives like this that institutions can secure to continue to push this initiative on their campuses. Other factors that can contribute to Affordability Count's success are to have a resource available for faculty as they come across any speed bumps in curating course materials. They have someone to lean on to overcome some of those. To host events and or workshops, for awareness on campus, something like an Affordability Counts Day, to keep the initiative fore of mind, and also examine any policies that can be considered to support affordability counts. If the institution has any policies that have a mention of course materials where the initiative can be boosted, that is a recommendation. And then lastly, don't go dark. We encourage institutions to be consistent with communication campaigns, and I'll end with a couple of targeted recommendations. So one approach is to approach departments that have many sections of the same course to achieve the multiplier effect. If one of those sections achieves the medallion, then that course content can be adopted in all those other sections. Another approach is to search for very high-cost textbooks and approach those faculty members in particular, and engage in adopting alternatives that are low cost to no cost. So that concludes the deep dive in affordability counts to date. Can I go into the demo of the site? Yeah. Okay. Second, there's a thing to be said about live demos. Okay. So this is what the site looks like. So if I'm a faculty member, we'll walk through from a faculty perspective. And I would like to, I'm teaching anthropology. And I'm, of course, when I'm teaching anthropology, I also know how to spell it. Okay. View awarded courses. So these are the courses in the database that have the title, that have the word anthropology in the title, that have adopted low cost to no cost options. So from here, what I can tell as an institutional rep, Professor Shauna Harris would be a very good faculty advocate. She is on a campaign to achieve a medallion for all her courses. As recent as spring 2022, she teaches in several modalities, hybrid and face-to-face at the very least. And these are all of her anthropology courses that have achieved the medallion. So I can expand on one of them, and I can see the course materials that she has curated for this course that meet the criteria of $20 per credit or less. And one of the requirements is to include the ISBN number so that I, as a faculty member, can take that number. And through my textbook selection process at my institution, it's a very easy way for me to add this textbook should it work for my learning objectives and modules. We have added a lot of other features. There are some other resources for faculty here. Maybe they don't know where to start in curating their course content. So we have added some features there. There are self-publishing options, so they want to create their own content and not just curate it. So we have a lot of resources there. The institutional reps are kind of a committee of their own, and they are very well primed in guiding their institutional faculty on these types of resources. Now, I'd like to log you in as an institutional rep. So you will see my login is FIU, so you will see my view, which is a TUST site. Okay, so this is my institutional dashboard. This is just a test for the purposes of a demo. And I can see that I have a queue. So I have courses that have been submitted that I need to review, verify that they meet the criteria. And what I can do, I have options. I can either send them back for revision if they don't quite meet the criteria and work with that faculty member in bringing that course up to meeting the criteria, or I can approve them. Other features here, we do require the link to the textbooks, for example. So if an instructor copied it from Amazon and it's a broken link, it was a pain point for some of the institutional reps to find some broken links. So we added some functionality that highlights that. Just some fun technical features. The marketing kit is here for each institution. Again, for this to have a statewide essence and all of us to use the same logo and there's different items here that can be leveraged for events at each institution that would help keep the momentum going. And lastly, there's the technical, the back end of this piece is managed by FIU Online developers. Should something come up from the institutions, we have a case process here where we handle those technical issues. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the committee? Chairman Mariana.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your presentation. I'm not sure if I'm fully understanding what the criteria is that would allow a professor to or faculty member to utilize this system. So could you please explain what they are submitting when they're submitting? Like, are they submitting the books they traditionally use for the course? And how does it get approved? Is that based on the cost of the material? If you can just kind of walk through that process.
Yes, so what they're submitting is the course that they are teaching and the course materials that qualify for the $20 or less per credit. So they'll submit the textbook and any combination of textbooks, if it's a 3-credit class, cannot exceed the $60. So the verification process would be to go in and indeed see that those textbook costs through the source or sources that the faculty member is identifying that the student can acquire those textbooks do have the low cost to no cost. Now, that's for textbooks that have a cost, but there are a lot of no-cost options out there. So OER resources can be pulled in there. The links will be there. And so sometimes it's verifying, for example, Orange Grove Repository has migrated or verifying that some of that is still up to date. So that's what the verification process looks like on the institutional rep side. The way that we have designed it, being that it's a statewide initiative, is not one institution is the admin of another's submission. So each institution verifies their own submissions.
Yes.
Thank you. So it is on the faculty member to select the textbooks that are under that $20 per credit. And what incentive do they have to do that besides the medallion? Is there a financial incentive? What would be the teacher's reason for doing that?
Sure. So back when it was lowcost.fiu.edu, we did secure a grant to kind of gain momentum in what you're outlining, and it was an incentive-based program. What we have found is that that was enough to get us moving, but as the support units at each institution kind of continuing the momentum there, it hasn't proven to be a roadblock for anybody. Now, the total number of courses is 2,400. Whatever percentage that is of statewide courses, so I'm sure some sort of incentive program could help boost those numbers a little more. Also, being that the statewide pilot launched in 2019, and then there was a bit of a pivot in the past few years for different resources and efforts, it might be a very good time to reignite some of this.
One more question?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for that response. So what about professors that write their own books and they are selling their, and the students are required to buy their textbook? Have you had any of those professors participate in this program that you're aware of?
I could check, none come to mind, but that is something that I could probably check with the data.
Thank you.
Anything else? Representative McCurdy, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I have maybe two quick questions. My first is, are there copyright issues when you talk about authors, whether there's an author at the institution? Are there any copyright issues that we foresee with this change?
So I'm glad you asked, and I'm sorry I didn't go over the submission form. I already closed the window, but that was part of the feedback from the institutional reps in the vetting process. So we included a clause where the faculty attests that there are no copyright issues to the course materials that they are submitting. If they are OER, and part of the vetting process is that the institutional rep takes a look at them, they do consider that.
Any further questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My next question was, this is pretty simple, this is fairly simple. Are students allowed to print from this new system? Say, I mean, I know there are things that I do online, but I always like to maybe keep a hard copy on me if I want to highlight or something. I know you can highlight it sure. Electronically, but do I have the option to print?
So the format isn't necessarily outlined in this database. That would be in the textbook selection process that each instructor has at their institution. So this is, let's say, you know, the publisher and the textbook, but the format is inputted in each institution's system. So, and I know that faculty do tend to choose that format in that process. So it can be sometimes only print, sometimes only digital, sometimes both, depending on what's chosen in the particular institution's textbook selection process.
Last question, Mr. Chair. This is a fun one. You were... one more question. Or a preacher, right? One more point. During your... when you were showing us the demonstration
sure. Using
the site, you put a password in. Can you tell me what that password was?
No,
I'm just kidding. That was, no more questions, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions other than... Wait a minute. Okay.
Back at it again. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
And ma'am, if you'd pause a second after she asks a question so the rest of us can process it, and then I'll recognize you to answer. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Are there certain types of courses that you're seeing this more frequently used in? Is it concentrated in different degree programs, more liberal arts or STEM?
Okay, so I do have the breakdown of the top disciplines. English is the top with 17%, communications with 6%, modern languages with 6%. Computer and information sciences, 5%, politics and international relations, 5%, psychology, 5%. Those were the top.
Yes, thank you. And then my other question is, what are the percentage of students that are participating or that are utilizing this platform?
So the platform isn't utilized by students. It's a repository for faculty to be able to leverage course sharing materials. What we have done at FIU, because I have access to the enrollment of the courses, is that we have derived our own impact reports, let's say. But I do not collect or look at enrollment of other institutions. But again, in evolving processes of affordability counts, that can definitely be something. If it were to rise up to the statewide level, we can look at including enrollment.
Paula? Thank you, Chair. So what's the process for a student to be able to tell if their course is one of the courses that has, the professor has this medallion and they're going to have low-cost textbooks?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So they would see it. We recommend it's in the course catalog of each institution's course catalog and in the syllabus. So that's where students would see it. Now, part of the other reason I went through all of the tactics and recommendations for the institutions, the student has to know what that means. So a robust communication, student-facing communication campaign would help in that.
Another follow-up, Chair? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So what would it take to put this interface to be accessible for students to be able to go through their degree program and see which professors are offering this. You know, if it's on a syllabus, you may not get that until you've already joined the class and may not be able to make your determination. You know, I've had some classes where my textbooks were $150 and some where I could get them for $20. It varies and you really don't know until you're in the class. So is there a way to make this accessible to students?
You're recognized.
Yes, it would be the course catalog where students are searching through each institution's course catalog. The medallion can be placed there.
Okay.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question regarding marketing. How do publishers find out about your program and how do they apply to get the medallion?
The program is not targeted towards publishers, so the faculty would have to choose the textbook from that publisher and then enter it in the database. So it's a faculty-driven process. The faculty decide what content they would adopt, whether it's paid course materials at low cost or no-cost materials that are open educational resources, and they would enter them in the database. So the publisher doesn't actually interact here.
Thank you. So this is driven by the author. The author has to, and I want to be sure I understand that, the author has to contact the instructor or the professor to say, would you consider my book, and then go from there? Is that accurate?
You're recognized.
So the textbook selection process, it varies by instructor, institution, publisher. So it's typically not the author, it's the provider, which is the publisher, which is a larger company that has publishes many disciplines of textbooks. And the instructor would go through the library of textbooks and pick which one the institution also perhaps has agreements with. We all have agreements with different bookstores. So the faculty have a lot of choice in their menu of options of what they can choose from to curate their course content. So it's not necessarily directly with the book author. I would think that would be a very rare circumstance.
Thank you.
Any other members have questions? Well, thank you very much. I know Chair Placencia has some questions, and if it's all right, he's going to be following up with you on those. Thank you very much. Okay, next we're going to take up the consent agenda. Representative Tuck, you haven't heard from your folks yet? Okay. We're going to take up the consent agenda. We are about to take up the consent agenda for the appropriations project bills. We will take up the consent agenda and vote once on the agenda in its entirety. The public is welcome to testify on any of the bills listed on the consent agenda. Members, we will be in questions and debate only once. Remember, you may vote no on any particular bill by submitting a nay vote consent agenda form with the administrative assistant before the vote. Please keep in mind that passing these bills makes these projects eligible for funding, but does not guarantee that these projects will be funded. Did we get our speakers? Okay, with that said, are there any questions? Any public testimony on any of the bills? Marty Coley, Gulf Coast State College Foundation, waves in support. I guess that's all of them, huh? It's on House Bill. She waves in support on House Bills 9083, 9101, 9377, 9409 is Diana Padgett, who waves in support. And 9455, Marty Coley, waves in support. Ron Sharp, Ark of the Bay. Yes, sir.
I'll be brief. I just wanted to personally just swing by and thank you in advance for your support for the House Bill 9063. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do what? Before I call for a vote on the consent agenda, are there any nay vote forms? No. Okay. Cheryl, will you please call the roll on the consent agenda? Remember, a yes vote signifies an affirmative vote for every bill on the consent agenda, with the exception of any no votes on the particular bill that were just announced.
Chair Placencia? Vice Chair Maney?
Yes.
Representatives Casello?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Maygard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
McCurdy?
Yes.
Nixon? Rizzo? Rodriguez? Schoaf?
Yes.
Ranking Member Thompson?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Yeas, 0 nays.
So the consent agenda passes. All of the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably. Representative Tuck, you're recognized for an introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And welcome to the FGCU Eagle Advocacy. It is their 8th Eagle Advocacy Day at the Capitol, and they're also celebrating their 25th anniversary for the university. So thank you all for being involved in the process. Thank you for being here, and go Eagles. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and welcome to the Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee. This concludes our committee agenda. Is there any further business to come before the committee? Representative McCurdy.
Mr. Chair, I just want to say you did an awesome job today as the chair for our committee.
On that note, based on Mr. Representative McCurdy's motion, without objection, we're adjourned. And I get to hit the gavel.